Okay. All right. Habakkuk chapter 1. I've heard many, many things, books written about the book of Habakkuk, many commentaries. And one time in my life, those things were good enough for me. I was satisfied to read someone else's opinion of what God said. Well, you know what? I've changed my view on things. They're not good enough anymore. When I want the truth, I want to talk to the horse's mouth, not to the horse's butt. Okay? I want to know what God says by His Spirit. And if His Spirit is the one who inspired the writer to write this book, then I need to hear what the Spirit said. And the only way to clearly hear what the Spirit says is to talk to Him. Would you agree with that? Okay. I don't want to hear all this garbage and rubbish about the man Habakkuk who was supposed to be paralleled with President Clinton and his wife and homosexuality and all this false prognosticators and soothsayers and all this garbage that was in there. That's not what God's trying to tell us. God is not trying to tell us to look to Washington, D.C. and see the problem. Again, that's religion pointing out there. The whole book of Revelation told us something. What did it tell us? It's within us. Everything is within us. This book is trying to reveal the Christ within us. It's trying to reveal the problems within us that is restricting the flow of God into our life. Does that make sense? Okay? So we got to quit looking at the newspapers, CNN, election polls, Washington, D.C., or Columbus, Ohio, or any place else in the country to see what the problem is in our life. The problem in my life lays within Dave. The problem within your life lies within you. And the only way it's going to be revealed is we have to hear what the Spirit of God is saying in your life. When we read this scripture, we can no longer read commentaries that were written hundreds of years ago. That's called old manna. That's what they needed in their life at that time. Are we living in a new day? We living in a fresh time? Then we got to have something for today, don't we? The things that took to live 200 years ago would hardly suffice today. I don't want to sleep under an old bare rug out on the side of a mountain somewhere. Ain't nothing wrong with doing that once in a while if you want to. But I like my house. I like my air conditioning. I don't like riding a horse and having to shovel the stuff out of the way all the time. I'd prefer to drive a vehicle. You know, put a key in, turn it on, drive it. I don't want to go back and live 200 years ago. I like the way it is today. But today we need things differently. See, the horse won't run on gasoline, will he? We have to have gasoline for our engines, not hay. The engines today won't run on hay. So there's a different time and a different place in our life, and this is what we need today. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen? Let me read this first chapter, and then we'll see what God has for us in it. It says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out unto you of violence, and you will not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceeds. Behold ye among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess and dwell the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hastes to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Wherefore look thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he. And make men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, and they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore the sacrifice unto their God, they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by their portion, by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? What I just read there, if you can make heads or tails out of it by your intellect, something's wrong. Because when you read it, it should be confusing to you. That is English language. It is not the rendering of the actual language it was written in. And it's symbolic. This Bible is written in parables. It's written in metaphors, Christophanies, theophanies, and all those fancy words that the cemeteries or seminaries put out to make it confusing so you can't understand it. In early days, the only one who had the right to even read was the priest. You weren't considered important enough that you could even read the scriptures yourself. You just listened to the learned man. You wonder where religion gets it? This isn't a book written just for me. I mean, it's written for me personally, but it's written for all you too. Right? So it's not just about me. It's about you. And every one of us, as we read this book, we have to know it's about me. Okay? So all the confusion that they bring to you, you got to put it aside. You got to ask God just to wipe the slate clean like it's blackboard. Just wipe it off, and now I can start with a clean slate. Now tell me what you're talking about. And you need to hear what God's saying in your life today, not all this mumbo jumbo that they put in their lives. If you're walking around with an anointing in your life, okay? Anointing means to be smeared or rubbed with oil. If you've got oil on you and you're walking through and anybody kicks up any dust, tell me where it's going to go. It's going to stick right on you. Isn't it? And all that dust is what we've got stuck on us because we do have an anointing in our lives. The Christ is in our lives. So the very lies and hypocrisy, all this stuff that they teach out of religion, sticks on us more than the truth. Does that sound strange? But it's still the truth. We'll hear something that's an absolute lie and we'll remember, our mind will grab a hold of that sucker right now. And when the truth comes out, it's like, well, I don't believe that. Is it truth? The truth, you can read it in black and white. Someone will say something out of Scripture and it's totally false. And they believe it because they heard someone say it. And you can take the Scripture, lay it in front of their face, read it in black and white, even break the language and prove that what was said was true. And they say, well, I don't believe that. Ain't that true? People do that. So we need to get past all that, wipe the slate clean today, and let's hear what God's trying to tell us in our life, okay? The word hapakic, what does it mean? It means to embrace. So there's going to be some embracing going on, right? To embrace. If I'm going to embrace something, that means I'm going to accept it. Would that make sense? I'm going to embrace this confrontation in my mind. I'm going to embrace it. I want to see what this confrontation is going to do to my mind. Because I know what the result is. It's going to beat up that old piece of clay up there. It's going to give me the truth. Okay? So it says, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Now see, he saw it as a burden. And the natural man will always see the things that God has got for your life as what? Oh, I'm getting so beat up. Oh, God. Why are you putting so much? That old devil's at it again. Now, come on, we hear that all the time. Religion has preached to us that some devil has beaten me up. Well, my book says that God has given me power over all the power of the enemy, and I shall tread on demons and devils, scorpions and tarantulas, whatever it is, and nothing by any means shall hurt me. Okay? So why can I blame a devil if I have power over him? Something don't work there. Now, my mind isn't any different than yours. Works the same way. Information fed in, accept or reject. Same way yours works. If God tells me I have authority over all power of the enemy, and I'm not talking about a devil with a pitchfork, I'm talking about my thought process. I have authority over it to take authority and say, no, I'm not buying that stuff. I can accept it or I can reject it. Okay? He gave me that authority. He gave me a mind that works. You did too. You got the same thing. And he did see this burden. And see, the natural man always sees the burden. Right or wrong. Always sees a burden. But the spiritual man will say, I love rebuke and correction. Not because I like to get beat up, because I like the change in my life. There's something worth it. It's really worth it to go through all this stuff. And I don't even view it as a burden. It's a blessing. And he cries out. And this is the natural man. This is you here, by the way. Habakkuk is you, okay? And what's he say? Now this, I say, is Habakkuk once he's become saved in the church system. Because he's righteous and holier than thou. And he's crying out to God, and he's upset because God isn't meeting his expectation. Hasn't everyone been there?
Yeah.
Okay. This is you getting started. And you say, how long are you going to wait, God? Don't you know what my neighbor's done to me? Don't you know what my boss has done to me? Don't you know what these uncircumcised Philistines have been doing to your child of God? Your righteous, holy child? God. We all say those things. You said, how long shall I cry and you won't hear me? See, the reason God doesn't hear is because I'm not crying out of the right heart. That's all it is. See, I don't understand. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, we're crying with the wrong heart. We're not saying the things that God wants to hear. We're crying about our flesh instead of being concerned about our spirit being matured. Does that make sense? Even cry out unto you of violence, and you will not save or deliver. How many of us in our early walk with God cried out to God and said, God, look at this bad thing over here. You got to fix it. And it wasn't fixed. Anybody been there? If any of us said you haven't, I know you're lying to me. Because we've all done it. Well, we shouldn't still be doing it. This is the beginning of it, see? But we've cried out and God just didn't meet our expectation, did he? And the first thing we do is wah, wah, wah. See? That's what babies do. They make wah and make messes, don't they? And Habakkuk's crying because he thinks he sees himself as righteous and holy. I'm the child of God, and how dare anybody do anything wrong to me? My life should be a rose garden. Yeah, I reckon there's pride in there. See, it's religious pride, thinking that we're better than someone else because we have a blessed life and have a lot of material things. And the church builds that right up in you. If you're not prosperous, you must be sinning. Don't they tell you that? See, if you're not really prosperous, you've got to be in some kind of terrible sin. Well, see, God has a purpose for wherever we are in our life. Just because we're not prosperous and don't have a lot of things, material things, does that mean we're not a child of God? But see, the world judges it that way. And when I say world, I'm talking about the church, because the church world is worldly. They judge you by what you possess. You go to a third world country, and they ain't got two pennies to rub together, much less two nickels. And you know what? They got God. Same God we got, because there's only one of them. Enter. Same God. Those people have less to worry about because they ain't got nothing. We got so much, we got to worry about our stuff. And that's what's happening with Habakkuk. He's worried about all this stuff going on around him. and not really concerned about himself because he sees himself as already there, already holy and righteous. Okay? Them third world country people, they walking down the road and see a bug, we'll see it and go, "Well, where's an old bug?" Well, they'll fight for the bug to eat it. See? They ain't got time to fuss over who's got what. They're just trying to live. And in the process, they still love him. They still love God without anything. How many of us could do it if we didn't have anything? And then he cries out and said, "Why?" Any of you ever asked why? "Why do you show me or let me see iniquity or wickedness and cause me to behold trouble?" Behold grievance or trouble. "For trouble and violence are before me," right? It's what I see. "And there are people that raise up strife and contention." Why is all this going on? Has anyone of you ever asked that? Why do I have to go through all this stuff? Why can't you just make me? God has a purpose, doesn't he? If I had anybody that wasn't like that, I'd be worried. See, we see all these things. Why do you think God lets you see all these injustices in life? Mm-hmm. See? Why does he let you see it? Why does he give you where he's at? So you'll think. You're right. Why? And then you'll question, why is he letting me see it? That's okay to question it, but that's to make you think. See? What are you going to think about? When you see all these injustices, are you going to say, "Oh, Lord, you got to correct it"? Is that the right thinking? See, God's got a process in all this wickedness. Psalm 17, verse 13 says, "Lord, deliver me from the wicked, which is your sword." David is saying this wickedness is God's sword to change and correct things. See? If I don't go through hard things, I'll never change my life. I will never become the son of God I'm destined to be without the correction, will I? Right? We all have to be corrected. Every one of us. He says, because of all this thing I see, in the third verse, he said, for that reason the law is what? It says slack. Literally it means ignored. He's ignoring it. See, people ignore the law because of the wickedness in their heart. The judges, do they rule fairly today? Depends on who pays the most money behind the doors, doesn't it? How much money can you pay me and I'll give you an answer? I'll give you the answer you want and I'll maybe make it look right if you got enough money. Are we seeing that today? Okay. Now, why do I get to see that? Do I have to see in myself, first of all? Why do I see it? Is it because I have the capacity to do the same thing? Hello? Huh? See, every one of us have the same capacity in our hearts. I have the capacity in my heart to take a bribe. See? All of you do. Don't just look at me. I'm just confessing it. See, I have the capacity, but I won't accept it. I have the capacity there. And I have to be able to see that I have the ability to fail. And that's what I feel like Habakkuk didn't see. He thought he was already perfected. See, he was standing above everybody looking at him. See, I'm better than them. Why is all this going on? How come you haven't straightened up and made my life real good? See, we got to understand, as a child of God, we're going to live in hell. Have to. Have to. It'll change us. He said the law is ignored and judgment does never go forth because the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong or perverse judgment proceeds. Now, God opened something up to me in another verse in Jeremiah because of this, that it just exploded in my spirit when I read this. It said, the wicked does compass about the righteous. Now, wickedness is what? Show it this way. Let me write it on the board. Wickedness is this. Would you agree that wickedness, flesh is wickedness? And he said, wickedness compasses about the what? The word literally is the just. Okay? Now, if this is going to surround this, let me see the picture it just created. What picture just created there? The flesh surrounds the Christ. Huh? See, it's surrounded. Is that right? The flesh surrounds the Christ. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 32, I believe it is, 31:22. It says, behold, the Lord does a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. And as soon as I read that there about the in Habakkuk, immediately this jumped into my spirit. A woman shall compass the man. All the women's libbers love that one. That's not what it's about. It's about the soul, the flesh of man, encompassing the man, the Christ, just like this right here. It's a parallel to this. See? It's my soulish realm, and that's what's happened in the earth today. God has let the soulish realm go ahead and go. He created it for His purpose. And it encompasses the flesh, encompasses the just or the righteous or the Christ in your life. True? And he said, therefore, or for this very reason, does perverse judgment proceed. Now, why is there perverse judgment today in the earth? And it's in your life as much as anybody else's. Why is it there? Because this flesh is encompassing the just. See, if the just was encompassing the flesh, guess what? You'd be drawing from the Christ and you wouldn't be drawing from your soul, from your carnality. You understand what I'm saying? So he's telling us, he's explaining to us, if we can see this stuff and understand this stuff, it has no more power over you. Amen. Let him arise. Behold ye among the heathen and regard. Oh, look at that. He's saying, behold, you're among the heathen. See? But don't blame the heathen. See, here's where the church is at. The church is always blaming everybody else. Don't blame the heathen. The problem lies within me. It lies within you. It's not somebody else. I'm not your problem. You may think I am, but I'm not. Your problem is you. Hello? It's your soul that's giving you the problem. Okay? Your woman is giving you a problem. That's not Faye, Larry. Okay. Behold, you're among the heathen. And look, he says, now look and be amazed. Where it says, wonder marvelously. Be amazed. Because I will work a work in your days that you will not believe, though it be told you. Isn't it happening right now? God has told us all kinds of things. And we're not believing them. Why? Because the flesh, the wickedness, is encompassing the man. That's all. It's because my soulish realm is in control instead of my Christ standing up and doing what he's supposed to be doing. Now he breaks it down and tells you what he's going to do. This is what's going to go on inside of your life. He said, because lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. You know what the Chaldeans mean, the word? Okay, he's going to break up that hard, clotted ground in your mind. Now, he's going to bring the Chaldeans to this, not God. He's going to bring these bitter, hasty, vicious, vile people. Hello? No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. You're looking the wrong way. You still got some soul out there, brother. What he's saying here is, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, he said, there are seven nations stronger and mightier than you. You're supposed to go in and possess the land, but these seven nations are in there in Canaan land, and you got to take it away from it. That's them ites in the land. Okay? There's ites in the land. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those ites, those seven Canaanite nations, we call them ites. Spirits. I don't even have it written down with me what they all are. Do you have that, Lois, what I wrote? I don't have my other Bible. I changed Bibles. I don't have it written down. There's seven nations. What? Wait, hold. Read it off the first one, what it is.
When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, which is violence.
Hittites is violence.
Girgashites is lying.
Girgashites is the lying spirit.
Amorites is pride.
Canaanites rebellion. Canaanites rebellious spirit. Parasite.
Independent
spirit.
Heavite.
Fear.
And
Jebusites, religion, religious spirit. Those are the things that God has put in our land. Okay? Those are the Canaanites. But those are also what? The Chaldeans. He said it a different way here. It's the Chaldeans. Those vile and hasty and wicked and mean things that go on in here. Okay? This is internal. This is not external. As long as we look external, we're going to sit here just like the rest of religion and never be changed. And when they throw us in the ground and cover us up or burn us or whatever they're going to do, I'm going to be the same vile creature that I started. If I don't know what's inside of me. Okay? So, he said he's going to raise up these Chaldeans, and they're going to come through and they're going to break up the clods in your life. Jeremiah said we needed to break up the fallow ground, didn't he? And these are the cats that's going to do it. See, it ain't going to be the guys running around hugging your neck that's going to change you. It's going to be the vile, mean things that's within you. And when God brings them things to the surface through all this stuff going on, and you're going to see, just like Helen said, she saw something that was vile and nasty this week. You didn't like it. See, that was one of them Chaldeans bringing it out for you. And guess what? When you find out who it is, you can cast them out. Because you have power over all the power of the enemy. See? You can take care of it and get rid of it. He says they are terrible, right? I need to go back to that. I passed something in there. He said they'll march through the breadth of the land to possess, or literally to occupy by driving out. That word means to occupy by driving out. It's a military terminology. When you possess something, you're going to occupy it. That means you take it over. Isn't that what those things do in your mind? Don't they take over and tell you what to do? Huh? They're squatters, and I see a squatter right now. It's going to be God. Okay, he snuck in, but he's gone. That one didn't like the message, did he? Okay, but they come through the breath of the land, that's us, and they occupy by driving out. See, they're taking over. And they possess what? What do they possess? Know ye not that you're the temple of the living God? What are they trying to take over? You. See, they're trying to take you over. But you're not going to permit that, are you? See, because you have power over all the power of the enemy. They're terrible and they're dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity. Now, their dignity is a poor choice of a word here. It literally means their exaltation. Okay? Shall proceed of themselves. Scripture says, if you exalt yourself, what will he do? He will abase you or humble you down. See, he said their exaltation has come proceeding from themselves. Doesn't that sound a little bit like pride? It's coming right out of the mind of humanity. Ego. Their horses or their beastly nature also is swifter than the leopards. Violent and swift, quick. Quick to kill. No mercy. How about that? Leopards have no mercy, do they? When they kill something, they kill it as quickly as possible because they're going to devour it. You're not going to play with it. And are more fierce than the evening wolves. What's an evening wolf doing? Does anybody know? That's right. It's on the prey. It's on the hunt. And maybe when it sees it, it knocks it down as quick as it possibly can because it's hungry. It's about like us running all day long and then coming by Captain D's and grabbing a piece of fish. A fish ain't got a chance when you walk by there, has it? See? Or going by the pizza place. That pizza ain't got a prayer because I'm going to nail it as soon as I get by it. Right? Come on. That's what he's saying about an evening wolf. You go all day without eating. See, they went through the night, they fed up, they've laid all day resting, and now they're hungry again. Got to have something to eat. And that's the way these things come through the land. They're looking to devour you. John 10 says that the enemy came for three reasons: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's exactly what they're there for. But again, we have all power over those things. But we have to know what's going on or we'll miss something. And their horsemen shall what? Literally, they will act proudly. What it says, spread themselves. The word literally is talking about being proud. They'll be proud, arrogant, okay? And their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hastes to eat. Now, when an eagle's flying and being hasty, would you say it's quick? Already got the prey in sight, and it doesn't have much chance. Well, that eagle drops his wings and tucks them. There's very little gets away from him when he starts his dive. He's like running 140, 50 mile an hour when he hits that sucker, and he's got it dead. It's like a bullet coming at him. Okay? They shall come all, or every one, for one reason. What is it? Violence. See, every one of these things in our life are for one reason. Violence, destruction, turmoil, pressure, tribulation. How many words do you want for it? Every one of us can give us five or six different words that's going on in our lives right now, can't we? That's what it's all about. They're here for one reason, to bring the violence. See, and now we take it as a negative again. Bad thing happening. Why? How come, Lord? When are you going to fix it? And we don't realize that this violence came for your benefit. This violence came, these things are coming at us, these Chaldeans are coming for one reason, to bring judgment. Okay? In the natural, I don't want to know about a history book. I don't want to know that the Chaldeans came and God raised them up to judge the Jewish people because they were all out of whack, and then he's going to deal with them. I don't want to hear about that, what he did. I want to know what's doing in my life. He brought those Chaldeans in my life to judge me. Okay? My life's got to get right first. If I can do anything. So I know they came for that reason. So all this violence that they're bringing is for whose benefit? They think it's for them. The Chaldeans thought, well, hey, we're blessed. God's given their country over to us. No, he didn't. He just let them be judged. And it was for their benefit, wasn't it? They shall all come for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind. And they shall gather the captivity as the sand. Whole bunch here. What's the east wind? Confusion. East wind is confusion. Every bad storm we have nearly comes from what direction? It's always that east wind that really comes back and tears everything up. We're talking again of this destruction and confusion that comes into our life. And religious confusion right out of Babylon coming from the east. Okay? But look what he says here. And they shall gather the captivity as the sand. Captivity. What is the captivity? What is the captivity? But what is the captivity here? He's talking about something he wants to teach you. What was captive? Who was the very first captive? Adam. Adam and Eve was captive. See, they were captivated by those Chaldeans, those ites that was in their land. They wasn't even aware of it, was they? They had no idea what their mind was to them, did they? And they got captivated by this thing. The serpent began to talk to Eve, did he not? There's the ite in the land. There's the Chaldean in the land. And she bought the lie, didn't she? And all the Chaldean did, all the serpent said to her was, if you eat this, you'll be like God. You know what? She already was. She bought the lie. She believed that she wasn't a godly person. Right? And that's what we do when that serpent or that Chaldean in our life speaks these things to us. Huh? You're no good. You're nobody. All that garbage that comes to us. And look what he says. The captive. So they captivated our identity. is really what happened. We lost our identity when we became captive. When Adam became captive, he lost his identity in God, his identity in Christ. He did not know who he was. Okay? So, look what he says. They shall gather up, the Chaldeans shall gather up the captivity as the what? Oh, God, what's that word mean? Sands, a covenant. In the first two covenants, they're still what? Captives. They're still dwelling upon the earth. They're not being seated in heavenly places as we're called to be. Right or wrong? Come on. We're supposed to be seated in heavenly places, and he says sand. Didn't the book of Revelation tell us, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Well, the first two covenants are here, and that's what he's talking about. The first two covenants are still in captivity. They don't know who they are. They have no identity. They're still relating to all this why and how long and when you're going to fix it for me, Lord. Put me in a rose garden, not the Garden of Gethsemane. See, nobody wants to go to that garden. All they want is a rose garden. Well, that's not what it's about. We all got to go through that same garden he went through. And they shall scoff, or literally ridicule, the kings and the princes. You don't think that ain't true? All them things in your head that ridicule you? I'm not talking about somebody here ridiculing me or you. I'm talking about your mind and the things that's in your mind that's going to ridicule you and say, you've went too far, you've done too much, you can't be a child of God, you've done too many things. Who do you think you are? Huh? Well, I'm bold enough to tell them. I'm a child of God. And I don't care what I've done. His grace was sufficient unto me. His blood covered everything. And His Spirit that indwells me takes care of all of it. I don't care. You can make all the accusations you want, and I know who I am. And you have to come to that place. You've got to know who you are, regardless of the accusation here. I'm not worried about the external accusation. That don't mean nothing. That's just a distraction, a smokescreen. The internal accusation is the one that destroys most people. Most people are destroyed for lack of self-confidence, lack of esteem. There's the accusation that destroys people. The external one, that don't bother me. Maybe some people do. They don't bother me. I don't like it, but it doesn't bother me. It's not going to take me off course. But they're going to scoff at the at the kings and at the princes or the rulers. Shall be a scorn or a laughing stock to them. They shall deride or mock every stronghold, for they shall heap up dust and take it. Did you hear that? They're going to pile the dust up and take it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. See, as long as we stay in the dust or the sand, do we have any control? The serpent's food is what? As long as we stay on the earth, you're going to be bit by the serpent. It's time for us to ascend into the heavenlies where Christ has explored, already taken care of everything, hasn't he? All we have to do is be seated. Did it say we had to go into the heavenlies and make war? It said we're seated. See, we know our place. We just go sit down because he's already won the battle. I don't have to fight nothing. God has won it all. And all I have to do is know that I am seated. If I'm seated, what am I doing? I'm relaxing, resting. Doesn't the scripture say, labor to enter into his rest? I can just rest in it. Well, how can you be so peaceful about all this stuff going? Because it doesn't make any difference. I don't care who's elected president. I have a preference, but it doesn't make any difference to me because God's going to get who he wants. Country isn't going to fall apart until God wants it to, and I think one day it will. I don't care. My sufficiency is not in Washington, D.C. When the Jews were in Israel, the whole nation was falling apart because of the plagues God put on it. But guess what? The Jews lived in Goshen. What happened to them? Just exactly what you said. Nothing. Nothing. Those curses didn't go into that land, did they? That was just being in Christ. Then shall his mind change. Literally, the word mind is spirit. It's ruach. And he says, then shall his, then shall, it should say this, then shall their mind, or their spirit change, and they shall pass over and offend, or literally punish, imputing this his power or their power, okay, unto his God. See, they're imputing everything to their own strength. In the natural, when people do these things, it's we were the big bad guys and we won. We're stronger than everyone else, right? In our mind, when those things overtake us, guess what? They think they're boss. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if a million demons inhabit your body. It ain't theirs. You hear me? It ain't theirs. That temple is the temple of the living God, and they're only squatters. I don't care if 10 billion demons are in you. Does it make any difference about the ownership of that building? God owns you, doesn't he? So they're just squatters. They're only there temporarily. And I'll just tell them, give them notice today, you can't stay. You can't stay. You can't stay. It's an eviction notice. There you go. They can't stay. Verse 12. Are thou not from everlasting? See, Habakkuk's even doubting God. Aren't you from everlasting? Don't you have the power to do all these things that need to be done? Can't you kick them out and make them leave us alone? Can't you beat them up, whip them? Nah, don't worry about that. Oh Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. He's praying he don't die. Some of you like that? Praying that we don't die before the week's out? Oh Lord, you have ordained them. Now he's coming to his senses. Look what he's saying. Lord, you've ordained them. That means he's chosen and selected them for judgment. And oh mighty God, what? You have established them for what? He made them for a reason. Why am I upset? See, I'm not even upset with what goes on in my mind. God ordained it. It's a process. And if I try to eliminate the process, I don't have the end, do I? I can't figure the problem out if I don't go through the process and the calculations and the figurings of things to get to the end, can I? I have to have the process to get there. So I'm not mad at what comes in my life. I'm thankful for all the people that was in my life and the things that's in my mind, this internal thing that's working. I thank God that I had the problems. I thank God for the people that's come in my life that were rear ends, because they changed me. Changed me more than the people that was good to me. I love them all. I've learned to love the ones who come to do destruction, because I know who sent them. And it wasn't some guy with a red flannel suit with horns on his head and a pitchfork. See, God sent him. Did God raise up the Chaldeans? He sure did. He says, your eyes are purer than to behold evil. Now, he's going to try to put something on God. We all go through this. Come on. Now, come on, God. You can't put up... That person couldn't possibly be a Christian and do the things they do. Now, come on, which one of us haven't said that? At some part of our life, we've said those things. Let's hope we're not saying them no more. You can't even look upon that evil. Well, my God, if that's true, then how come it says he created evil? Isaiah 45, verse 7. Amos 3 and 6 says, there's no evil be done in the city unless I, the Lord, have done it. Come on. If that's true, then what's he saying here? He can't look at evil? Come on. He's trying to be a little self-righteous here again. He said, you can't even behold evil and you cannot look upon iniquity. Right? He says, look here, son, look at the truth. And he opens up the scripture to him. And the first thing that happens when he does, he runs to tell somebody, man, says, hey, you can get $19.95 for this one. Isn't it the truth? You can get $19.95. And someone else will come along and say, oh, brother, you shouldn't sell that. They say, well, I got to recoup. Recoup what? It's not yours. You can't sell what God is. There was a man called Simon tried to buy it, and he left the darkness and blindness on him. It's about time for God's people to stand up and deal with those people who think they can process God with money. You know what I mean? Because Paul spoke to a man and said, let darkness and a mist come upon you, and you'll be blind for a season. Okay? It's about time people stand up and do that and take the authority away from them money chasers. That's about what they do. Sure. It's all hypocrisy. It's all pitiful, but it's going on. God knows about it. They merchandise God as soon as they come to it. And as soon as they begin to merchandise, I can tell you what happens. They no longer have anything to sell you. It becomes intellectual because the spirit was just cut off when they chose to sell it. No longer will they have anything to sell. All it'll be is manly wares. It'll be those idols again that they start setting up. I. Because by them what? Their nets and their thought processes in their mind, their ability to catch you and snare you, their portion is what? Fat or rich. And their food is plenteous. So they're saying by what they do and how they understand and their thought processes, that's what made them rich. We sing a song here that says, I am rich because of what you have done for me. It's not about what I've done. It's about what He has done for us. Is that true? Okay. They're looking the wrong way. They're looking at self. And those Chaldeans in you, and we've got to put it back into perspective of inside of us, internal. If we let the things that we do and accomplish in life that make us important people to somebody get in the way, they are the very Chaldeans that will destroy us. Whatever we accomplish in life has got to be put on the back burner. That's just details. The only thing important is you growing in Christ. Everything else is just mere details. Doesn't mean anything. Temporal at best. Everything we accomplish in our life in 100 years from now, who will care? Okay? No one cares. Verse 17. Turn those first two words around. Shall they, should say. They shall therefore empty their net. They shall therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the what? The minds, the imaginations. They'll empty their nets. They'll drag, they'll catch you, and they'll take you out of the net. Tell me why the fisherman empties his net. To devour what's in it. He wants to eat what's in there. He's going to devour whatever's in that net. And the very nets is our thought processes. The idols that we put in our own mind are the things that's going to get us. And when we empty that net, we only empty it for one reason. To devour it and get more. That's all. And it says, they will continually slay and not spare the nations or the minds of humanity. Whew. I quit.